I don't know a lot about it. I've seen the first episode, but it's a man that basically, it's about cunts that have tigers in the States. So it's kind of like a certain level of like mental anyway, just off the bat, you're like, I believe in a thing called love.
There's a good Louis Theroux thing about people who own insane pets in America. And I don't know, it's old, it'll be about 10 or 15 years old, but it's like women who own monkeys, and they take their monkeys to monkey beauty pageants and put makeup and things and all that on them.
Same thing.
I think it was around about the time, this is an old story, but you might remember it, where there was a woman had a monkey and it got out a cage and like fucking ravaged her friend's face, like absolutely destroyed her, nearly killed her.
Oh yeah, that ate her face, eh?
Yeah. So it was around about the time of that, and he's just meeting all these people who don't realise it, they're just idiots, but they don't realise they're like the cruelest fucking cunts on the planet.
And they're wondering why sometimes fucking monkeys go and eat some cunt's face off.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, he's just having a bad day. I didn't put enough custard on his apple pie and he just went nuts. But it was fucked up, and there was like guys on that had tigers and fucking bears and stuff, but he would go in and play with them and just be like, look, we're friends. Doesn't matter that I've ripped all his teeth out with pliers.
It's something, like it's just such a weird kind of, like, I don't think, like, I'd love a fucking cute wee monkey, but I also don't think I should be allowed a monkey in fucking not a jungle, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's a bit of a cunt human move to be like, hey, how good are monkeys? Let's take them out of where they should be and have them in our house.
Do you want me just that intro?
Yeah, go for it.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So, get involved. Grab a beer and join us at Drunk Therapy, the podcast.
Desperate times, boys. Desperate, desperate fucking times.
Chipper start.
No one's in the office still. I'm on my last couple of days here. And I'd feel weird going to Sainsbury's to buy the booze, like, for the podcast. It'd just feel like, I don't know, I'd feel odd doing it just now. So I'm raiding the cupboards in Capital, trying to get myself liquored up a wee bit to enjoy this. And I found Shane's stash.
It's a weird stash as well,
it's
isn't it?
It's a collection of his greatest hits on the podcast. So I had a choice between sherry or ginger wine. Yep, and I've got ginger wine in front of me. I'm going to open it, if you can hear that. Oh, that fucking stinks, man.
There's a half bottle of tonic hidden somewhere anywhere.
They've stopped production in Buckfast.
Have they really?
Fuck.
Yeah, they stopped it yesterday, man, which is... I don't know how society's going to change because Buckfast isn't in production anymore. Like the isolation period is going to reform so many delinquents, and they might see light at the end of the tunnel, and we might just have this period where meds start becoming these cultured human beings and add something better to society. But then you'll miss that undercurrent of cunts jumping around the town with their bucky bottles and a phone playing rave tunes and all that, and I think it'll be missed.
Grand scheme of this ever-changing fucking social and economic fucking upheaval that you have grossly overestimated the stopping of the production of Buckfast.
I like to think there's like, you know, there's mad needs that we rocking around on Bucky, but now they have to get something real flash, like a Pinot Noir. So they have to get some wanky French wine, and they're like, they start going to art fucking galleries online and shit like that. I just like to think that, like, it's just the Bucky that's been ruining fucking cultures, not just fuckheads that drink a cheap alcohol.
Yeah.
To be fair, is it really a staple of a Bammy thing anymore now that gear is such a prominent drug amongst the youth of today? Can it not just be anything and a gram?
I don't know,
like,
mate.
Equivalent of drinking a bottle of tonic.
I feel like we would misrepresent it if we said either way, but our generation, being Bammy was having Buckfast, so I'll always go by that. And I agree with Shane to an extent. You live the lifestyle, so when you were drinking Buckfast, you always felt like you were like fucking swimming the depths of being an Ed, hanging about street corners, speaking like a wee dafty. Whereas if you were having a nice Pinot, then you would start to become more literate. You would read books, you would go to art galleries, you'd maybe enroll in some classes, you know, classic French literature.
Maybe start crocheting your own fucking turtleneck or something.
I don't know about that, mate. That would take your fucking sherry to land anyone there. Right, speaking of ginger wine, I'm going to give it a bash. I'm going to give you a taste test live on air just to show you how disgusting Shane is as a fucking human being, man. I've already smelled it.
All right. Don't mince your words.
I didn't even...
I want you to go full Jelly Gould in here, James, which is a reference probably about 5% of people listening to this will get, but... Hopefully you know what I mean when I say that.
I don't, mate. I'm going to jump in for the 95% here and say, can you tell us?
She was the woman on food and drink that would like smell shit and go, oh, I'm getting this, that, and the next thing. And then she would gargle it and that didn't sound nice at all. But she would then gargle it and give like, oh, it's like a spring meadow and I don't know, getting fucking wanked off by God himself.
Nice. This smells
go
like...
full Nigella and make it all sexy as well, like... just slut it up a bit.
I'm definitely not going to do either of these things. What it smells like just now is if you've ever had the pleasure of getting a whiff of what projects out your mouth after a full night of drinking and there's no chunks, there's no food there, you just purely vomit fucking alcohol and you get a wee whiff of that. That's what I'm getting off this.
Right, that's now. Exactly what Jelly Goulden says.
Amazing, so I nailed it. man, I honestly, right, because... And I'll get on to this in a second. I actually think I'm sitting here with coronavirus and I think that this'll definitely tip me over the edge. Or COVID-19.
It'll kill the germs.
Fuck off.
Good for you.
It'll kill me. right, straight for the bottle, not even from a fucking cup. I'm going for it. Like proper old school, straight for the bottle.
Given how horrible you were to Shane there, you're definitely going to backwash your spit into this bottle as well at the same time.
Oh, it's really fucking sweet, man. It's like melted down.
Would you say delightful?
No, it's sweet. It's like a melted down candy floss, like liquidized candy floss. I can't. It's no for me.
Sherry it is.
The sherry makes you feel like you're an old lady that's like been through a war or something, and you just like to remind yourself of hard times sometimes by drinking some sherry.
That's exactly how we all feel at the moment.
There's
me today, like, we're all going to be, like, in 20 years' time, we're all going to be talking to our kids and grandkids about the pandemic. Like, there's no enemy. It's like, who was the bad guy? Nature? Cunts are going to be, like, rebelling against trees and shit?
I don't know, mate.
No, not trees. Just the supermarket trolleys. That'll be who we form war against. You done this to us, trolleys and shopping baskets.
Cunts that cough, eh? If you ever see anyone cough again, like, they will be, like, forever, like, remember the time that coughing caused, like, us to go home and have to hang out with our families? Fucking fuck you.
Well, did you ever smoke a joint when you were younger? And to, like, impress your pals, you held in the cough. You were like, I'm not going to show any weakness here.
Yeah.
I've done that a few times today. And I don't know if I'm manifesting the symptoms. I'm like, I'm not showing weakness. I'm not going to be the guy that people think has coronavirus. Especially given that I have only got a couple of people in work with me, I don't want to be the guy that, you know, it was James that gave us it, you know, out of the three. And we're all been really nice to each other.
Especially at this time, like, because now, like, you've gone so far without having it, you know, it's been around for quite a while and you haven't got it. So everyone's kind of going, oh, if I don't have it by now, I probably won't get it. But if if someone's coughing now, you're looking at them going, oh, Jesus, I knew it would happen. It's fucking James.
Yeah.
Fucking Jeremy James over there.
You feel a wee bit Teflon. Now, this is where I'm at. I've probably lived life a wee bit too dangerously, given the circumstances we find ourselves in and the precaution that everyone's taking. So I've still been going to work, but I've been walking or I've been getting a bus with very limited fucking people on it. And then I have been going to some little shops and supermarkets to get little bits, not panic buying, fuck that. So I have been getting in contact with more people than I would say other folk have, given the circumstances that they're isolating in. but I'm feeling right now symptomatic. I've got my throat seems a wee bit weird. Like, it kind of feels like there's a wee lump in there. And I keep doing... Now, I'm not sure if that's just my hypochondria manifesting symptoms. And then I don't know anyone that's ever been able to take a temperature of themselves with touching a forehead, because it always fucking feels warm unless you're clammy. So,
pretty sure you're meant to stick a thermometer up your ass.
Who the fuck has
a
thermometer?
Never done it, but I'm pretty sure that's how they do it.
That's how they do dogs, mate.
Or under your tongue. So it's don't get that done in the wrong order. That's how you know. I don't think you can just feel your head and I don't know. I'm not a fucking doctor, obviously, but
yeah, it's dogs that you do that way. So I turned around to Katie tonight, and I went, listen, pal, you might need to self isolate. I'll give it 12 hours. I'll see where I am tomorrow. It's fucking scary, man, because it's getting a wee bit wild out there. Not to depress anyone, but you're seeing a lot more stories coming out about younger folk with no underlying health issues at present that can be seen dying from it. So with that heightened anxiety out there and that information, I'm sitting there going, fuck, I really don't want this, because at the best of times when something floors me, it fucking floors me. But if it's a killer fucking disease or virus, then as I texted Danny earlier, I said, oh, someone you know is going to die from this, and it's definitely going to be me. That's where my head will take me.
That wasn't quite how you worded it.
What was it?
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm trying to find it just now, because I fucking properly exploded with laughter when you sent me it. It was because it was just out of the blue. Like, we'd been messaging off and on all day, and then it maybe been like an hour and a half since I'd last heard from you. And you just went, some cunt we know is going to die for this. And that was like an hour and a half after I'd last sent you a message. And I knew your follow-up was going to be, it'll probably be me. So I was already laughing at your message, and then that came through. And maybe it's just because I've been in the house for nearly a week on my own now, but it really cracked me up. So I don't think you'll die. I'll reiterate the point to you and anyone who may be worried about stuff like this, in the sense that the odds are very, very, very slim that it will kill you personally. I fucking emphasise the point again, avoid social media as much as possible. If you start to feel overwhelmed by everything, just fucking back the fuck away from it and stay away. And when I've been going out, I've been not enjoying it at all. It's shit, the whole thing fucking sucks. But I quite enjoy this whole wide berthing that's going on out in public at the moment. So if somebody comes within like 500 yards of you, you're just like, get the fuck out of the way! And then you're crossing the road, and then somebody else will come, and you're crossing the road again. And it's just, it's nice to finally get away with just being a pure ignorant cunt. So think of it that way. Unless you don't like the look of them, James, in which case, walk right up to them and shoulder barge them, and then do that wee cough.
And stick a thermometer up their ass.
Stick a thermometer up.
The way you described it, Danny, it made it sound like the worst action movie you've ever seen, like someone 500 metres away.
This is exactly James. I described it to James as this. It's historically, we're having the worst game of chicken ever. Where it's like you'll be walking down a pavement to somebody, and I'll say that I am only going out once a day, and I'm going out for a walk or a run somewhere. But when you're walking to the park or whatever it is you're going, you'll see somebody in the distance walking towards you, and I'll cross the road or I'll walk out into the middle of the road because the roads are quiet just now. But it's just like this really undramatic game of chicken where it's like you lock eyes and be like, who's going to move first? Who's going to be like the guy who's going to swerve out the way? if the Jaws theme tune could only go on for 15 minutes, then it would maybe help build that. Right, come on, hurry up. Right, come on, speed up, come on. I crossed the road 10 minutes ago, mate. It's fine, don't worry about it. But nah, it is weird and it's fucked up. But you won't die, James. I'm not going to promise you that, but I don't think you'll die.
You'll be fucking gutted if I die, mate.
I'll be fucked. I've nobody else to talk to, so.
I got to that stage today where I rang Danny. I've never rang Danny in my life. And I was like, Danny was sending messages to the group and I was going, fuck, I should give that guy a call. He's like, he's needing a chat with someone. So I just rang Danny and we just... shit the shit. I don't know how you say that as a doing word, but like we were just had a wee bit of a chat, and it was I don't know. Was it nice, Danny? Did you enjoy it?
I'd like to, yeah. And it's I'm not a very social person. Like that's been well established in this podcast, but you do start to kind of not lose your shit a little bit. But there's days where you'll just hit a lull for about an hour, and you're realizing kind of what may lie ahead, and you try and force yourself out of it. And yeah, I've found a nice little circle of people to fucking talk rubbish with. And I know that one day we'll all enjoy a Fanta lemon and talk over this madness in the not too distant future.
I'm not even gone yet, and you guys are phoning each other trying to establish new dynamics.
Or you could look at that as a sign of how desperate we both are for companionship, that we phoned each other.
I'm going to be real for a second as well, but and I just sound like a fucking negative wee cunt. And I have been, like, for the past 6 hours, I've just been, I don't know, man, swallowed by a wee bit of negativity. And I'm sitting in work, and I've got like 2 days left from today, and I'm just thinking, I mean, why can't I just fucking go? And half of me is going, because I want to see out my final days, and I want to just be like, cool, goodbye studio. And then I'm looking at the depression that is an empty office, and the fact that in no way would I have envisioned my last couple of days being this, and then just to be hit by wall after wall of negativity. And I know you say turn off the news, but we kind of need to be abreast of what's happening just now. On Saturday, I can completely turn off. But it genuinely, it's getting to me. I'm being sucked in way more than I should be. And then I have moments where I'm fine, but then I'm just like, this is so fucking shite. This is fucking horrible. I've had my final pain. Don't get me wrong, I've got enough money to see me through for at least a few months, but I'm sitting here going, when can I find some fulfillment, something that drives me from a passionate standpoint again? You know, when is the world going to start opening up again? And I can drive towards something that's going to make me happy. How am I going to fill my days beyond the first 3 days where I think, okay, it'll be a wee bit like a holiday camp? And I'm just going, this is very overwhelming. And I do realise that a week ago I was going, listen, it will all be fucking good and positive. But you go through these journeys and you can end up, after a few days, going, how the fuck do I keep that positive mentality up? And right now I don't know how to. You know, I'm sad that I'm leaving work. I do think it's the right decision, but I'm sad that something defined and grew me as a person and gave me so many happy memories is going on Friday. And then I'm sad seeing all this shit out there, and I'm sad that I can't move towards something new yet, you know, or even something temporary in the meantime, because it's all so shit out there. And it's horrible.
A really hard situation, eh? Because I've got a few friends that, like, I've said for ages, and I think you guys have probably noticed that whenever we talk about mental health or anything like that, I go quiet. And I've always said my gift is that I'm just perennially fucking joyous and shit like that. But I've got a lot of friends that are leaning on me quite heavily right now, and you don't realize, and it's a tricky one, because everyone's having such a shit time, but everyone's having such a shit time in a different way. And then everyone's going, oh, I feel bad though, because, you know, everyone's got it worse. And that's true. But I mean, as long as you don't dwell in it, I think there's some powerful thing to be had in just sitting there and going, look, this is shit, reflecting on it and going, okay. Cause it's one of those things, like, you almost feel guilty for feeling bad. And I know a lot of people, and I'm not saying this is the case for you, James, but a lot of people are feeling guilty because, you know, people are dying and they're healthy and all that kind of stuff. Like at the moment, I'm home with my partner, and she's a bit like you. She's got 3 months off, basically very limited pay and off work. And she's kind of at a weird state as well. And she's like, you know, I shouldn't feel bad. And it's like, well, no, but you can, because your situation and everyone's situation has fucking completely done a 180, you know. It's, you shouldn't feel bad for feeling bad at the moment. Like, I don't think dwell on it. I don't think that's going to be overly positive. But also don't beat yourself up, because, yeah, you're right, people are in a worse position. But, mate, I feel for you. I feel for you. I feel for Danny. All I've got to do is hang out with my beautiful lady all day, and I feel for myself.
All right, mate.
I know, yeah, fuck's sake, shit, I
humble brag. No, but
you came with a really strong message at the end of that one.
Yeah, you were doing so well.
No, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, don't don't beat yourself up and go, oh, it's, I shouldn't feel bad, because...
Well, I'm not, I don't feel bad, I'm not beating myself up, I'm just being honest, I'm trying to articulate how I feel openly and recognise how I feel, because if I just hold it in or try and put a positive spin on too much, then I won't navigate these feelings correctly. You know, I need to process it. Yeah, I need to process it and then move on from that, or I won't be living a normal life. I'll just be fucking burying too much. My throat is sore, man. I fucking think I've got this.
One thing, I was about to try and make like a really serious point there, but James has fucking started coughing. but I've got the comedy out for this. Don't worry, guys. I'll get us out there in a minute. But listening to what you're saying there, James, is that I'm not very good on this podcast when it comes to like being really, really, like, I can acknowledge my mental health stuff, and I usually kind of half jokingly, half seriously talk my way through it. So what I'll say to you is that whether it was 10 years ago when I was struggling, or a couple of years ago last year when I was really struggling, music's like the most important thing in my life. Like, I fucking probably cherish and love music more than, I don't know, fucking Hibs and cheese combined. And there's a song by Leonard Cohen called Anthem, and it has a lyric in it that always stuck out to me, and it's, there is a crack in everything, that's how the light gets in. Now, firstly, I'll pause, because everyone needs to giggle at the word crack, rightly so. But I think when you kind of look at that lyric, it's what I always sort of look at. So right now, it does seem like there's like, it feels like the end game is so fucking far away. But if you look for the crack, there'll be that shining light, whether it's, I don't know, that you've got a nice pair of cats to fucking raise, or you know that you a fucking strong CV,
but you've got abusive cats that you're, you know, yeah, abuse,
you're about to get a Nintendo Switch at some point, so there's positives.
Hey, he's not meant to know that
you phoned me and told me
but I always use that lyric, and I kind of look at that, and whenever I feel at my lowest ebb, I look for the light in the cracks and where the light's coming in. And I feel like a dick saying that, because it's not my usual chat, but there you go. There's my fucking optimism at its best.
Thank you, mate.
Plus, you get patch cunts in the street, and it's dead funny.
Well, how are you going to take us to the funny turn now?
So Pornhub Premium is free just now.
What's on Pornhub Free? I was thinking about this today, and then I was like, this is amazing, because Pornhub Premium is free, but most people are shacked up. Well, not most people, like half the population are shacked up with someone 24/7, so they can't really jump on Pornhub.
So
it's about finding your time, I would say. Like, I'm on Pornhub right now. Like, it's just like when you're like got your partner around you 24/7, or your dogs, or you know, even if the kids are home, it's just about, hey, I'm just going to go to the fucking place where we wash our clothes. And they're like, oh, I'll come with you. And you're like, no, you won't. I need 5 minutes to wash some clothes, okay? All right, bye. Like, you just need to find time and, I don't know.
5 minutes, you bloody show off. But I explored Pornhub Premium yesterday, because it's free for the world for a month. And I signed up for the love of this podcast, because I don't really need to look at Pornhub Premium when I stay alone. I can just watch porn anyway. But I thought, do you know what, fuck it. I'm intrigued by Pornhub Premium. I want to see if it's like a fucking, like, see that chocolate room in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, if it was like the porn equivalent of that, where there's just some guy with a massive knob singing the If You Want to View Paradise, but with like sexy lyrics. And it was just more porn. It was, that's all it was. It was just, but and I'm not really feeling particularly, I think when we done our live stream the other night, I said, I can't say that I'm masturbating or fucking wanking off any more or less than usual just now, because it doesn't feel like a particularly sexy period of history. You don't really sit on your couch for the 13th hour of the day letting negative thoughts creep in and then go, well, just have a wank. So
this is a sad one, eh?
So yeah, I've done my research for everyone. If you want to sign up to the free trial of Pornhub Premium, it's just more porn. That's all it is is more porn.
Do you think there's more?
I love the fact that Pornhub might be using this as a reference, or like, you know, like on the front cover, Danny, 4 stars. It's more porn. It's just, I tried to fucking download it the other day. I was trying to sign up the other day, and as soon as it wanted my email address, I was like, that's a trap. I don't trust you.
No, because you don't even need to put in credit card details. It's just a name and an email. What Pornhub are coming out of this whole thing like better than fucking Witherspoons and Sports Direct. Like, this, there will be hero companies listed at the end of this, and Pornhub might genuinely be one of them.
See, you guys might do this, you might not, but see when you search the location, like if you type in Scotland or you type in Glasgow on a porn site just to see if there's anything worth watching. Do you think the premium has more location porn?
You can like break it down by postcode, eh?
Yeah.
I'm like someone that lives just out of Denniston on Sword Street. Like,
give me some G31s, please.
But I don't know what I would have expected from it, other than just more porn. Like, I really was. I thought there was going to be some sort of Pandora's box of fucking secret new porn that nobody's heard of ever before. But nah, it was just more porn.
I'd like to think that for me to get Pornhub Premium, I'd like every porno, the two actors or however many actors there are at the start, to go, "Hey, Shane, here's something we think you might like," and then they just start doing it. I want to be personalized.
I want bloopers. I want director's cuts.
Commentary.
Commentaries. I want deleted scenes.
Alternative endings.
Yep. Aye.
Do you guys ever, this is about the alternative endings, not about porn. You ever seen a film with an alternative ending? I watched The Butterfly Effect originally on, I think it was DVD or the TV, and the ending was happier than when I watched it again, and it wasn't so happy. The reason I'm doing that is I don't want to spoil it for anyone, because fuck knows who's watching what films in isolation. You know, you might drag up sucking films from 15 years ago and watch them. But it's a weird situation where they had two different versions of this floating around, and it really fucked me, because I left watching one of them like, oh, that was a great conclusion. Then the second one, I was fucking, like, I was terrified.
Paranormal Activity done that. So the original Paranormal Activity had an ending that would, well, but it wouldn't have meant that there was no sequels, but it had a different ending. And I think it was Steven Spielberg said to the guy that made it, "Nah, don't end it like this, end it like that." And that was, so yeah, there's an alternative ending to Paranormal Activity out there if anybody's intrigued by it.
It's
quite often what they'll have to do as well. And like, if the movie has, like, say, kids as some of the main actors, they have to film like different versions so the kids don't A, fuck it up on a press tour, and B, so like they can give the version to kids so they go, "Look, this is the movie you're in." And then, you know, like, say for example, if the kid dies, but they, you know, it's going to be a mad, you know, plot spoiler, they don't do that. They'll go, "Oh, and then this version you live," and then the kid doesn't know which one he's spoiling if he ever does press and stuff like that. But also it doesn't destroy his life, because, you know, he's 6 years old, he's in a movie, and he dies, and his mum dies, and everyone dies, you know, that might crush him. So sometimes they have to do it just to like keep it a secret as well.
Makes sense. That just always stuck with me though, the alternative ending, because I fucking loved that movie, and then when I seen it again and that happened, I was like, you crushed me, whoever the fucking person is.
Which one did you see first? Because I only remember one, but I know there are different ones.
Well,
was there a womb?
Yeah, that was the one I seen second. The one I seen first was two of them on the street, and they slightly recognised each other, because when, it's kind of a spoiling ending, but fuck it, if you've not seen it, fuck it, I'm reneging on what I said a second ago. He went back in time again, and he just like called her every name under the sun to get rid of her. And then they went different ways and kind of seen each other on the street. And then, obviously, the other one, he strangles himself in the womb. And you're like, it's a bit dark, mate. It's a bit dark from what I had there. Nice wee happy conclusion versus that horrible.
Yeah, I think that's that's the most depressing movie. Like that, you don't think it's that depressing because it's very clever. So you're watching it going, "Oh, this is clever. Oh, that's interesting." And then you're like, "Wait a second, I'm really sad now."
You've never seen The Mist, Shane.
Right?
As in MIST Mist.
Yeah. No,
I won't spoil it. Watch that film. You'll be wrong.
Is it a Scottish one?
Nah, it's a, I think it's a Stephen King book that got remade or something.
Yeah.
But I'll just, if you think the ending of that was depressing, please go and watch The Mist.
Okay. That's somewhere to watch this tomorrow with Mallory.
Yeah.
I got this cute movie to watch. Oh.
Do you guys prefer to watch a TV program or a film and have it all wrapped up nicely at the end with you, with all the conclusions kind of like Lord of the Rings, basically, when they fucking had about 17 endings, but like have everything wrapped up for you, or do you prefer having it open for interpretation so it kind of ends abruptly when it leaves you thinking that could have happened? Right, I get what I'm doing here.
I've still never seen The Sopranos because I know how it ends, and it's the latter of the two, really, isn't it? So I just feel like there's no real reason to watch it if there's not a definitive conclusion, to which a lot of people may reply very angry tweets, because I appreciate it's supposed to be absolutely amazing. And I just find it dead difficult. Even like now, I've probably listened to music more than I've watched TV in the last week or so in this flat, because this will sound ridiculous, but there's almost too much. Like, you don't know where to begin. And you start flicking through and go, "Oh, watch that. Oh, there's 500 hours of it. I'll watch something else that I've already seen before that's like a comfort blanket to me." So, that's weird. I find it really difficult to find new TV to watch.
The thing is, as well, when you're on Netflix, you just scroll and you scroll and you scroll and you never watch something amazing. It's always like, fuck it, that'll do, because we've been looking for like 25 minutes. And I reckon now that's at its worst, because it's like you've got so much time to do. Like, it used to be like, okay, after work you might watch a movie, and you go, okay, cool, you've got an idea of what you're kind of thinking of. But at the moment you're like, I've got fucking hours to kill. All right, let's just scroll on Amazon and then fucking Netflix, and then we've got Now TV, and it's just like there's
Disney
so
Plus.
Many things that aren't amazing that you end up just kind of fucking spending an hour scrolling, watching something shite, and then being like, oh, that was shit.
Yeah.
But not the Tiger King.
I like it when a movie doesn't have a definitive ending, though, because it fucks people off. I'm a bit of a movie nerd. Like, I'm not like the biggest movie nerd, but I like it when like there's a bit of style to it and stuff like that. And I just like how if a movie kind of does something like that, people that normally just go, cool, whatever, go, nah, it's bullshit, that was fucking shite. It could have been the best movie ever, but like the last 5 minutes can destroy it for some people, and they'll get proper wrapped up like, nah, it was fucking shite, oh, Quentin Tarantino fucked it on his last one, rah, rah, rah. I'm not saying that actually happened, but you know what I mean? People get really pissed off. They could be watching the best movie ever, and then the last minute isn't what they like, and they're like, nah, fuck this movie, it's shite, hated it.
Well, that's exactly what I can always see the ending of a film coming, and I can see my girlfriend Chloe looking at during the final minute. She's going, "This is not going to give me what I want," because she loves everything wrapped up in a nice wee bow in conclusion. Did they end up together? Did he die? What happened? Were they all saved? And I love it when it's open to interpretation. I just think fucking solid, mate. You don't need to have the fairy tale ending, because life goes on, life doesn't end. You know, you kind of just want to be left to draw your own conclusions from what will happen to these characters. By the way, coronavirus update, I don't know if I'm, I feel warm. How does my throat sound? It feels a wee bit.
I think you sound sexy, man.
Oh, that usually means that I'm ill, doesn't it? Sexy ill sounds.
Yeah. Well, you sound fine, but you weren't fine the other day, were you? Because everyone's fearing for the breakdown of society at the moment. That's like the worst cut. The folk that can't take themselves away from social media and the news keep talking about the downfall of society. And you may have actually seen that in action the other night, James, walking home from work, if you want to share that experience with us.
All I'm saying, mate, is the dystopian future that has been written about in many science fiction novels has started.
In America they would go around shooting people, but because we don't have guns over here, it was something a little bit different.
Yeah, and it was the night that we were put into supposed lockdown. And I say supposed because the cunt never said it, and it's leaving it open to interpretation too much for The English mostly, isn't it? You know, like people that are a wee bit more ignorant. And I know I'm not going to tarnish a whole nation with that brush. There's a lot of, you know, non-ignorant English people, but you're hearing about 75-year-old women going to the beach when our husband's got fucking kidney diseases. I'm not getting into this, right? It's fine.
How good was our day out in Largs the other day, by the way?
Shut it.
Oh, fuck. All 15 of us down in 5 cars, ice cream, fish and chips. Had a great time.
Coughing everywhere. I was walking home from work the other day, just up Duke Street, mate, because the fucking bus schedule's shite just now, and I completely get it, but it's annoying. And I'm walking up, and I'm feeling fucking good, man, because, you know, I'm not tired. I've got some shit in my bag that I was going to eat, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm talking to you guys on the phone. I'm actually probably watching the final bits of your Instagram live that was going on between the both of yous, and I feel something fucking whack me on the back, but nobody's around me. So I'm like, what the fuck was that? And then I just see a couple of wee neds hanging out the window going, ah, I got egged. I got fucking egged, mate. Most cunts are hoarding food and these cunts are going around egging people. To be honest with you, there was a real minute, man, where I was like, oh, yes, I'm going to go on round the corner and these guys are going to be there and I'm going to start fighting with 4 guys, but I've got the anger of the Incredible Hulk right now. And then after that dissipated, which was very quickly, I just started laughing because I realised it's the sort of thing I would have done when I was between 16 and 18.
I can't believe you would want to fight 4 guys who, in the time of, you know, uncertainty and fear, all they want to do is just start a wee food fight and have a giggle, and you took that the wrong way.
Maybe they were just trying to help you out. Maybe they thought, oh, this guy's walking home, maybe he needs some supplies. Throw him an egg.
It's the Salvation Army. It's what they're doing now. It's their social distancing food donations.
That egg gave me coronavirus, man. But it was funny, mate. There's lighthearted entertainment. The only thing that was annoying is that you can't really wash a jacket, can you? It's not a done thing. You don't throw your jacket in the wash. So I didn't really know how to deal with it.
You've got previously trying to wash jackets, but I mean, when you try to wash your dad's jacket.
What, when I pissed on it?
When you pissed on it, yeah. Did they get the egg out?
Fuck off. It was my dad doing it. It was revenge. He's listening to the podcast. But aye, mate, it was...
Fine cunts to egg you.
I needed to turn it quickly into humour and tell cunts and laugh at myself because legitimately for that 60 seconds, man, I was ready for fucking war with people. And I mean, stupidly, because I would have got lettered off all of them in the car and egged again, probably. But it's just, it's odd that during this time of lockdown and people panic buying, that in the east end of Glasgow, people are throwing eggs out of cars.
Well, I like to think, like, there's a certain level of, like, okay, it was a wee bit shit for you, but statistically, let's say 4 out of 5 people had fun during that interaction, and like you weren't injured or hurt, you were just a little bit like you had a wee bit of egg on your face, so to speak. Like, so I think it's lighthearted fun, and I mean, don't do it to old people. But if I was walking down the road and they egged me, I'd give them a clap and go, you know what, you fucking got me. I shouldn't have been walking. If it was in my beard, I'd be like, ah, my fucking beard. You know what I mean? Like, 4 out of 5, 80% of those people had a good time. So you are a martyr for letting that happen, bro.
That sums you up, mate. Most people are clapping for the NHS and you're clapping for folk that are egging cunts.
What I would say to these young people is that while it's all nice and well to have a laugh, there is food shortages going on just now. So come on, let's just throw bricks at people if you're going to do it. Come on, guys.
By the way,
there's a lot of bricks out there that can still be thrown without wasting food.
Aye, just hit folk with bricks. Don't do that.
Yeah.
I feel like in this podcast, sometimes we need to say don't do that, just in case anyone takes it literally. But I did get a wee bit of PTSD because I was walking home last night and I was at the exact point. I was looking around me like, they're going to do that again. And I bet you they're just waiting up round the college for some poor bastard to be walking by. And I'm the only guy that's stupid enough to be walking by in this time. And they'll do it again. It didn't happen, but on the way to work, I passed by the bit with the incident, and there was just a wee bit of eggshell on the ground, and it made me fucking so sad.
What you need to do is you need to start walking home with a mixing bowl in your hands.
Make a cake.
And some flour.
if, if you hear an engine revving, just turn around with the mixing bowl so it's just ready to catch.
Oh.
You get free
when life gives you eggs, you make a nice wee fucking muffin or a nice wee banana cake.
I was saying to Katie tonight, I was like, I kind of, during this period of self-isolation, when I go into isolation on Saturday, I want to make a cake. I've never made a cake before. I think that that'd be a nice goal to have.
Start with fairy cakes. Did you never make fairy cakes in like
homemakeys
in school?
Aye, I did, mate. I did, but
they're easy.
Aye, but I want something more elaborate. A challenge,
cake. Just like a little tiny little sponge cake.
Make a banana cake, but like the secret of banana cakes, right? And they won't tell you this in any book. You just need to absolutely fucking litter it with chocolate, like dark chocolate. Oh, and it gets all fucking globby and you like be eating this nice banana cake and boom, there's a chunk of chocolate. Oh, fucking hell, I am so hungry right now.
I'll just put ginger wine in it, mate. That's really nice.
My girlfriend makes muffins occasionally with Guinness in them. And like, it sounds mental, but they're ginger flavoured. And they're fucking phenomenal. I don't know what the fuck. Like, she's got skills that I'll never understand. Like, why the fuck are you putting Guinness in a muffin? But genuinely. So, I don't know. Maybe fucking put some ginger wine and some fairy cakes and just see what happens, mate. You could be the next Nigella making shit all sexy.
I could be, mate. I could be because I need a fucking job. The anxiety is running wild. Running wild on you, motherfucker. a bit of lighthearted and dark chat. But I just thought I'd share a nice story about my dad. So I don't really talk about him much other than the fact that there's another story that popped into my head just now, and I'll tell you that as well. But other than I pissed on his jacket, my dad's a taxi driver, and he's back in like 2013-14, One Direction were over here, and Harry Styles went to a Pizza Hut. And he managed to convince everybody that went into his taxi subsequently for a year that Harry Styles was in his taxi, and he picked him up, and it was amazing. It was amazing banter. That's just the kind of guy he is, and he got loads of tips for it. Was he fucking his taxi? So a guy that had Big Michael Johnson, the sprinter, is that his name?
Right, he's currently talking me through Couch to 5K at the moment, Michael Johnson.
Well, my dad had him in his taxi, and he didn't have a fucking clue who he was. He had Rebecca Adlington in his taxi and he had no clue who she was either. But he's managing to blag the fact that Harry Styles was in his car. So he's a big wind-up merchant, good guy. But on social media, a couple of days ago it was, I seen somebody that was mates with my big brother share a photo of a guy called David, 20, his name was. It's been 16 years since he passed away. He was my brother's best mate. And it kind of, it's one of those days, you know how you remember those days where you were, when you were told something? And I was in my ex-girlfriend's house when I was informed of this guy dying. And it was fucking really powerful because she just found out that her gran had died as well, simultaneously, more or less, within the hour. And I remember it because I had deaths of people I knew before, but this was the first one. It was just a young guy. He was like 18, 19, and it's fucking, you know, prime his life. And I always thought that in a situation like that, it would be handled delicately by whoever was passing on that news. That was what everybody would think. And I remember my dad just phoning me going, "Aye, James, 20's dead." And that was it. No fucking precursor, like, "Listen, I've got some really, really bad news to tell you. Are you okay? You want to sit down?" It was just 20's deed, that's it. And my dad has informed me of anybody that I shouldn't laugh because it's really sad and he was a really nice guy, but he's informed me of anyone that he's told me about has died in the exact same way, just blunt as fuck. So there, you think you got a bad dad, Danny?
At least yours exists.
But I just wanted to shout out 20 and give you a wee bit more info on my old man.
But that's the best way to deal with death, isn't it? It's like, I don't know. I'm with your dad there. I sent you an excerpt. I'm reading Doug Stanhope's autobiography just now. And if nobody's heard of Doug Stanhope, just put him into YouTube. He's a comedian who's just amazing. He's just the fucking guy. And there was a bit in his autobiography where after his dad died of cancer, and him and his brother just started taking pictures of themselves with his dad's corpse, and he has a picture of him kissing his dad's forehead in his wallet. And every time somebody shows him a baby picture out of their wallet, he takes this picture of him kissing his dad's dead body out of his wallet. Amazing. And goes, here's like a glimpse of how your life will end up. Just baby pictures. So that's Doug Stanhope. I hope I've sold him to y'all. Buy his book because it's fucked up and he's a very funny comedian.
How long was he like sitting there taking photos of his dad as a corpse?
Like, I don't think like, it wasn't too long.
The Morgan shit.
No, he died at home and that's what he done. And that's my way of approaching death. I'm pretty sure, James, you started laughing at me when I told you my granddad died. Not laughing at me, but you made jokes about it very quickly because.
Yeah. We were in that routine, weren't we? I think you told me that I made you laugh. It was very dark humour.
There was a day when my niece was born just over 2 years ago. It was the same day your gran died.
Your niece killed my gran.
And that's right. So your gran fucking went into the body of my niece. That was just like how it worked. My niece stole your gran's life. And that was, we just sat and got quite drunk and spoke about that. And then I went up to the hospital drunk.
Yeah, that was a tough time. You ever, I don't know, we touched on this in the podcast, seeing dead bodies after the fact.
Yeah, I had to go to the hospital. I was through in Edinburgh the night my granddad died. I told this story, so I'll not tell it again.
If I told you.
Find that, because it's fucked up.
Oh, mate. Did I tell you a story about when my mum met her dad?
When your mum met your dad?
Yeah, no, not my mum met my dad. Mum met her dad. I apologise. If not, basically she didn't know her dad and then reconnected with him about 4 years ago. My mum was, she was like 51 at the time or something, or 50, and she'd never met him before. I won't go into too much of the details, but they reconnected, maybe met each other like five times, and then sadly he passed away. It was a whirlwind of fucking emotions. Like it was mind-blowing what happened. And I met him twice. Obviously not enough to build up a connection or any familial feelings. And we, out of respect, went to his funeral. And I had to, you have to go in and pay your respects to the body, but it was so weird looking at a dead body of someone that I had like legitimately no feelings either way for. And just looking at them, it's like so fucking weird. And I've seen dead bodies before and it's mental. Like my gran's dead body as well, they just don't look like, they don't look normal. They look like propped up, blown up kind of thing. I don't know what I'm trying
painted
to say.
Painted as well, eh? They're always a wee bit like, if it's around a funeral, they're always being kind of painted up or dulled up and they're in their like suit and stuff. And if like, see, my granddad was never, I never really saw him in a suit, but you like saw him in a suit and he was kind of weirdly alive, but like almost like old CGI where you're like, that's not right.
Why the
you
fuck know
what I mean? That's
like
what they did with the makeup and it was like, this dude's like in his Sunday best and you're like, fucking hell, it's just a weird thing. Yeah. Because if you've never seen him in a suit, that's weird. And also they've kind of, you remember like The Rock and Scorpion King, like how bad that CGI was? That was kind of how they make them look. They're like, no, look, he's just sleeping. And you're like, is he fuck?
Did they make your granddad like half scorpion?
Yeah.
And they painted him. Do you get to choose what colour of paint you get painted? I don't know. See, when we started these like isolation rambles, the whole point was going to be like, come on, let's cheer everyone up during this thing. And so far, James is about to die, and we've just spent about half an hour talking about dead bodies.
Yeah, you guys are going to, this is going to be a real possibility for you, but except you won't be allowed to come to my funeral.
I hope that's
James, can we stuff you and just like put you in a place?
No, because like we're not allowed to go. It's immediate family only. I want to paint them now.
I want you guys to take the best, just isolate recordings of me and stuff me, but give me a voice box and then just the best sayings. I shit myself in a club. I pissed on my dad's jacket. And just like so people can press
my mum while she sleeps.
I'm gonna
put your face down in your coffin and set up like a little pyrotechnic so it just looks like a little bit of cum just spurting down your arse halfway through it.
Yeah, just have me face down. Sorry.
In conclusion, James, You're sad and also dying, so don't worry. You won't have to worry about anxiety anymore. And once you do die, Danny's going to put fireworks up your bum that makes it look like you are shitting jizz. So,
by the way, see, when you die, like, you won't know it. You just die. Well, there's science that says that you might, like, your body might stop, like, your heart stops beating, your body starts shutting down, but your brain is still active, so you... It's been theorized that you know you're dead.
It's going to make me cry.
You know you're dead because your brain dies last. So your brain knows you're dead. So you're locked in your own body.
Stop saying this shit, man. No one wants to think about this.
Know how this is usually like a pod? We do what we call the podcast sandwich now, where it's like comedy, serious comedy. This has been like a sort of comedy Big Mac. This has been like a podcast Big Mac, where it's just like trying comedy, death. Trying comedy, death. Little bit of comedy, death, death, death. All topped off with a fucking crisp brioche bun of fucking death.
With sesame seeds.
We hope we've cheered everyone up. It's nice to talk to you all again.
I've had fun.
You morbid cunt.
I started crying half an hour ago and I haven't stopped, but I'm pleased you had fun.
Think positive.
There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
And if it's James, it shoots jizz out of it. Yes.
Oh, why? Why? Why?
Yeah, because that crossed the line, James. That's really went too far.
That was Drunk Therapy. If you enjoyed this podcast, go listen to some of the other ones. The old you would have. If you're on socials, like us there as well. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @DrunkTherapy. It's something weird on Twitter, which I can't remember right now.